Wow.
There's your audio.
Sirius is one of the resident striated caracaras living here at the Hawk Conservancy Trust. His species is only naturally found within their very restricted range within the islands of the Southwest Atlantic, and, as a result, are sometimes called the Falkland Island Caracara. Their adaptability and resourcefulness has often led them to being known as the most intelligent bird of prey in the world. Join me as we find out more about this intriguing species and put some of Sirius's intelligence to the test. Hello, I'm Tom Morath. I'm the Deputy Head of Living Collection at the Hawk Conservancy Trust, and as you might imagine, I have a passion for birds of prey and their place in the natural world. Our podcast, Nature's a Hoot, is a way to delve deeper into the world of these winged predators to understand not only their natural history, but also what their survival might look like into the future. This time, I'm going to be investigating the striated caracara, one of the most interesting and charismatic species I've had the pleasure of working with during my career with birds of prey. They've historically been dubbed Johnny Rooks, Flying Monkeys, and even Flying Devils, thanks to their inquisitive and somewhat heavy-handed, or should that be taloned, nature around novel objects they find whilst exploring the windswept coastlines of their home. Charles Darwin himself was not too kind about the birds, having encountered them whilst on his scientific expedition aboard the HMS Beagle. Darwin said they presented as false eagles who ill become so high rank. Oh dear. But even Darwin, whose crew had various items of equipment stolen by the birds who had quickly invited themselves aboard the Beagle, couldn't deny that their behaviour and boldness was at the very least a curiosity. To me, their naughtiness and tendency for mischief is a source of endless interest and fascination, and I'm not alone in my assessment of their character.
Playful, persistent, problem solvers. The three P's.
Katie Harrington is a research biologist who has worked hard to understand the movements and behaviours of populations of striated caracaras on the Falklands.
As a group, they've sort of turned the definition of falcon on its head, you know? Like striated caracara in particular, they'll run full speed up a hill to investigate something. I've never seen another falcon do that.
In 2018, as a graduate student from Moss Landing Marine Laboratories in California, Katie was the recipient of the Trust's Marion Pavia Award. This grant, named in honour of the Trust's first chairman, supports research into the conservation of birds of prey by providing some much-needed funding and is aimed at early career researchers working towards this goal. The award helped Katie to fund her master's thesis researching striated caracaras in the Falkland Islands.
So I have been studying striated caracara for 7 years now, and I've mostly focused on their behaviors, and I'm always sort of looping back to this question of how is it that you birds survive, and what is it that you need, or how do you do it in these conditions? And I started mainly looking at how they move around their landscape using data loggers. And so the birds are actually, they're carrying around something that records what they're doing almost as though it's like a diary, right? And then they can tell us what they're doing because we can't always see what they're doing. We can't always follow them around the clock. And so we sort of get this really detailed look at where they're spending their time, how they're spending their time, what resources they're attracted to, what they need, where they're moving about the islands, and how their behaviors are changing across seasons. And actually the Conservancy Trust funded some of that initial research with those data loggers that looked at how these birds were changing their behaviors among seasons and whether or not the resource availability was really affecting their approach to life at different times of the year. So that's a pretty cool circle back, the support that I've gotten from the Trust. One of the main things I've learned through looking at their behavior and looking at their movement and just looking at how they interact in the world is they learn. which is really cool. So you throw something new at them and they figure out if it's useful for them. And you can see this just when you watch them, you know, day to day. They're always interacting with new things in their environment, whether it's a new object or new food. They're grabbing it, they're kicking it, they're rolling it around. And they just spend a lot of time doing this. They have these, as you know, these really long legs and really large talons. And so they do a whole lot of manipulating with these legs and talons. And sometimes that even turns into play, which is pretty cool to watch. So their behavior is actually really similar to this alpine parrot that lives in New Zealand, which is like, what? But it actually makes a lot of sense. They're both isolated on islands. They both face a lot of the same challenges. And they're also next door neighbors on the evolutionary tree of life, which is pretty cool to learn, I think. Falcons are more closely related to parrots and ravens than they are to hawks and eagles. So we're learning a whole lot about these birds and their exploratory nature and the resources that they need and how they move throughout the islands.
It might be surprising to learn that caracaras, of which there are 10 or so species, are most closely related to falcons. That's right, those high-speed flyers with deadly accuracy. Despite this genetic link, the overall look and behaviour of a caracara is very different indeed. Unlike their other falcon kin, who take the top spot in the animal kingdom for speed, most species of caracara have become very comfortable on the ground, often choosing to walk and run rather than fly. They're generalists, using the power of their minds to work out the most efficient method of obtaining a meal. Meals could be anything from invertebrates and crustaceans to small mammals, and in the case of the striated caracara, even octopus. More on that later. Katie has seen firsthand how different these birds are to other birds of prey.
Two words sum it up really well, and that's they don't. They really don't compare to other birds of prey. You know, unlike other birds of prey I mentioned before, they're running around on the ground, they're social, they're unafraid of humans, they're pretty clumsy predators, and they seemingly like crave new information. And so in captivity, I'm sure you're aware of this with Sirius, but you have to give them toys. You have to give them problems to solve, things that activate their brain. And many animals need enrichment, obviously, but typically you won't see another bird of prey hop down off a branch to figure out, you know, how to open a colored tray, right? So I would say that they don't compare to other birds of prey. So when you think about the falcons, they're actually a really interesting group because they, a long time ago, split into these sort of true falcons and the caracaras. And they're wildly different, right? A friend of mine likes to refer to the true falcons as quote unquote Ferraris of the sky. And then you have the caracaras who are just a bit more, you might say, clownish. So it's one thing to compare caracaras to birds of prey, and they don't really compare, but they also kind of don't even really compare to other falcons. They're just a totally unique group of birds. We built a puzzle box that requires caracara to solve tasks for food rewards. And you can think of it as like a vending machine. But to get your snacks, you have to figure out how to access them, you know, which door to slide, which lever to push, how to make a platform collapse so that your candy bar drops within reach, right? So these same puzzles were also recently given to Goffin's cockatoos, which are a really intelligent species that was just featured in The Guardian. And so we gave those same tasks in a little puzzle box to the caracara, and the caracara were like, what? That's it? They just annihilated it. So we actually have to return with harder tasks. We have to go back to the drawing board, design some harder tasks, and go back down to see if we can stump these birds.
It's clear that these caracaras are exceptionally inquisitive, and I, for one, are very interested to see how they work out Katie's latest challenge. Anyway, back to the octopus. Katie, can you tell us more?
Yes, I can. And wow, that was really something. So this was a few years ago now. And so when the tide goes out, the caracara regularly walk around this sort of intertidal zone, the areas that had previously been covered with water, and they search for food like limpets or small fish caught in tide pools. And Octopus, as you know, they're almost like magicians in the way that they can disappear themselves by matching the colors and the textures of their environment, right? So we have to imagine that this octopus was near invisible, but this young Caracara managed to notice it and then managed to grab it. And I had never seen anything like this, and I'm not sure anyone else has either, a falcon versus cephalopod, right? And in less than a minute, a whole group of young birds had joined in and were feeding on this. I have to say, poor octopus, because what a way to go.
What an incredible discovery. Unless you're the octopus. We're lucky to house three striated caracaras at the Trust, Darwin and Lafonia, two birds that have lived here since 1981 and regularly show off their intelligence during our Brilliant Bird Brains talk. My colleague Cedric Robert is very good at coming up with new ways of entertaining these two in their older age. And then there's Sirius, who you heard from right at the beginning of this programme. He was Darwin and Lafonia's chick, and hatched out at the Trust in 2003. The more time you spend around this bird, the clearer it becomes that there's something very different about this species compared to other birds of prey. Sirius seems almost corvid-like in his ability to work things out. I caught up with my colleague Owen Lincoln, a section manager from our bird team, to see whether we could test Sirius's intelligence.
So Owen, Sirius, striated caracara, it's on your section. Describe him in a couple of words.
Energetic, boisterous and mischievous.
Okay, yeah. And had you worked with caracaras before being
here?
Yes. Right.
Yeah.
And how do you find them?
An amazing species to work with. You just got to be in a routine with them and then they're okay to manage. Challenging to manage but fun. That's how I sum them up.
Great. And so what's your sort of general routine with Sirius on a daily basis?
So my morning routine would be going in, doing a bit of cleaning, changing his water bowl, etc. And then we'll weigh Sirius. When he gets weighed, he knows he's going to get a bit of food, so he tends to become a little bit more lively, should we say. But the routine would be I head in with a bit of food in my hand as a fist with a flat hand, and he knows once he's stepped on the scales, my fist will open, the food will drop out, and that usually keeps him quite calm. And then I make my escape.
So he's smart then, he knows that something's going to happen.
Absolutely, yeah, he definitely knows there'll be a reward for performing an action, should we say, which is weighing. But yeah, we've built another little activity for him today to see if he can work that out.
Okay, so you've developed him this kind of, well, bit of a game, I suppose.
It is, yeah, and hopefully over time I can add to it. So it's a bit rudimentary and crude at the minute, it's just essentially some blocks in a little maze, but if he pulls the string, the block comes out, which is all well and good. He's figured out by pulling the bit of string, he used to get a reward, but I've now drilled holes into the block to hide the food, so he needs to now figure out the food is actually inside the block, not under it.
It's a timber box without a lid,
yeah,
and inside that box is fitted three cubes, and each of those cubes has a bit of string attached to it, and he's got to work out that he's got to pull the string to pull the cubes out to access the food that's hidden underneath the block. So
absolutely,
even when he pulls the blocks out, the food's not immediately obvious. He's got to turn the cube around to find it underneath.
That's right.
Okay, should we try this today?
Let's give it a go.
He sounds excited anyway.
Okay, right, you ready, little fella?
Okay, it's going on the ground. Oh, he's pulled the string.
But he's not got the food yet, he's still...
Oh, look at that! That's amazing! Has he seen that version of it before?
He hasn't, no.
Wow!
He's done one block, there's still... Okay, you're trying
to... So he's pulled the block out with the piece of string, first of all, because he knows that's what he's done before, because there used to be food underneath on the platform of the open box. And now he's just worked out that the food is actually hidden in the drill hole of the cube. That's amazing.
Ah, it's in his foot. Okay, there he goes.
Hey! 3 out of 3! What was that? That was about 20 seconds?
It's flat, yeah. I think the first time I tried it, I did record how long it took him. It was within 5 seconds he'd pulled all three blocks out.
And this is with that previous, easier version.
That was, yeah,
and
absolutely.
Yeah, 20 seconds. That's amazing.
They are one of my favourite species to work with, I must admit. But we've also got Flo, who's our crested Karakara next door. She's a little bit easier going than Sirius.
Okay, so what differences do you find between those two birds?
She's a little bit more timid and reserved, I suppose. I'm not sure if that's because she's a little bit wary of me, as I'm still quite fresh at the Trust. She's got a very good relationship with Katie. Or if Sirius is just, yeah, from a different cloth, let's put it that way.
He does seem to be.
He does.
There's some pretty ferocious talons there as well, aren't they? Like,
absolutely, yeah.
He seems to be doing a lot of his activity with his beak. He seems really dexterous with his beak. But those talons are serious. Well, he's now trying to...
very, very powerful feet.
Trying to kill the wooden block now.
As a species as well, I mean, compared to other Karakaras, I've just always noticed how domed and how thick a striated Karakara's beak is. And I presume that is just for cracking open crustacean life as well. But... yes, you're very multi-purpose, aren't you?
The Swiss Army knife of birds.
Yes.
So what do you think the sort of positives of doing things like this with the birds within our living collection?
It definitely gives them a form of stimulation and will break up the day for them a bit. Rather than Sirius just getting weighed, coming out, flying, going back into his aviary, it's another obstacle in his daily life. And I suppose in the wild they will be constantly facing obstacles, whether it's to find food or, well, just living in general, as it's such a harsh environment on the Falklands. And Karakaras can be one of the most rewarding, I think, to do problem-solving activities with, because you're always going to get a result of some sort, whether it's the one you think, or if he figures it out in 20 seconds.
Simply brilliant. I'm sure you get the picture of just how fun Sirius is to work with. Be sure to come and say hello to him during your next visit to the Trust. Now, back to Katie. The striated Karakara is classified by the IUCN, the International Union for Conservation of Nature, as near threatened. Given their resourceful nature and intelligent behaviour, it would be easy to believe that these birds had nothing to fear from changes in their environment. But thanks to their fascinating evolution, which saw the population expand to fill a very restricted range, any changes to this relatively small area could spell disaster for the entire species. I asked Katie what her research has done to help our understanding of the species and what the main threats facing striated Karakaras could be.
So you've heard the phrase sitting ducks. They're kind of like sitting falcons when you consider the threats that they're facing. You know, so the Falklands, it's an incredibly small population of Karakara that inhabit the Falklands. They're completely isolated from the mainland population of striated Karakara. And in fact, they're genetically different. There's no mix between the two. And so you have a very small population of less than 1,000 mature adults. And so anything that hits the Falklands hits them. And so when you think about climate change, and this is where I say that they're sitting ducks, if there's sea level rise, then their habitat is going to shrink. If there is warming ocean temperatures, then the food that they eat, the seabirds, they can leave and find food elsewhere. But the Karakara can't leave. They're trapped. And so whatever hits the Falklands in terms of climate change, you know, if that's increased storms and increased lightning strikes and increased ground fires, all of that can affect the Karakara in a way that they can't escape. Another threat that they face is actually something that many oceanic islands face, and that's invasive mammals. And it's not a direct threat to them, but with eradication plans. And obviously, islands are concerned with their biodiversity. That's very important to maintain that and to restore that. For the eradication, it would be rats and mice primarily. And with these eradication efforts, they broadcast bait from helicopters. And what do you think a walking exploratory falcon is going to do when they come across a whole bunch of bait on the ground? They're going to eat it. And we already know that from some trial studies that did it on a very small scale effort, non-toxic bait application, and the Karakara did eat it. So we have to be really focused right now on trying to understand how they interact with their environment, what attracts them, when they're attracted, why they're attracted, and see if we can actually, through what we learn with that, use it to their advantage so that we can influence some of these eradication initiatives to mitigate the risk to Karakaras.
Now, to our most important question of the show. Katie, if you were a bird of prey, which species would you be?
I think you know this answer. For sure, I would be a Strydocaracara. Because, I mean, how fun would that be? You get to run around and kickbox things. You get to try and figure out how they work. You stay young forever. You can be social. And you just get to figure out how life works with your friends. So I just think that sounds amazing. It'd be hard work, but hands down, I'd choose to be a Strydocaracara.
Surely it was a foregone conclusion that Katie would choose the striated caracara. And it makes total sense. Like the birds she studies, Katie is smart, resourceful, and has a sense of humour. Something you need when studying a mischievous bird in one of the world's harsher environments. Nice one. It's work like Katie's that helps us better understand threatened species and the issues that could face them into the future. With this knowledge, we can prepare conservation efforts to support them that actually work. For now, the wild population of striated caracaras continues to intrigue and fascinate all who study them. Next time, I'll be taking a dive into the world of the fastest animal on the planet, the peregrine falcon. I'll be finding out how their physiological adaptations have enabled them to reach such incredible speeds and how they've managed to adapt to city living as their numbers recover from severe declines in the 19th and 20th centuries. I'd like to thank my guest, Katie Harrington, for her time and support in putting this episode together. If you'd like to know more about the Marion Pavia Award or our own conservation and research projects, you can find out loads more on our website, hawk-conservancy.org. Or perhaps come and see us, Darwin, Lafonia and Sirius, in person, if you get the chance. Lots more Bird of Prey content can also be found on our social media pages. You'll find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram and TikTok. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and perhaps consider leaving us a review wherever you get your podcasts.